She's a great lady.
Yeah.
She's a great lady.
I've been thinking about you, you and Al. So.
Al's not in town, is he?
No, he's not coming.
Okay. Session upstairs.
Right? Yeah, let me give you a new agenda just in case anything is slightly
all right. We'll make it on this. What color did you get, Jeff? Metallic gray. Got a lot of flake in it.
Chad get the ditties on the Escalade or what?
Well, he drives them both now on the way. I told the guy, talking about my Escalade, he said, how many miles you got on? I told him 90-some thousand. He said, that's a lot of miles. I said, well, it runs two shifts. I drive in the daytime and it drives in the evening.
That is a lot of miles. When did you get that? Not that long ago?
Yesterday.
No, the Escalade.
Escalade? It's an 04.
Oh, well.
Time flies.
Give us a little more sales tax down here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you.
My son wants to take my caravan, or he wants a car. Yeah. So I may get another one. So I may be in the market.
It usually works the other way around.
Yeah.
You get the old one, they get the new one.
Yeah, well, that's what happens with my wife.
Performance.
Hey. Good
morning.
Morning, how are you?
Pretty good.
Morning.
Yeah, well, this goes with the best. Okay. Oh, they're all?
Yeah, they're all
sitting. Oh, okay.
It's taken a number of years
now. How many people do you think are up here?
Got them.
Sure.
Yeah. I have to call the meeting to order and ask that you please stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Big crowd.
Welcome Metro Parks this morning and ready to have an update, please, if you will.
Thank you. I'm John Granville, the Executive Director of the Metro Parks, and I'm happy to be back. I think it's been slightly over a year since I had the opportunity to talk with you folks. We're going to hope to give you periodic updates about what the Metro Parks is doing, our progress in various areas, and our programming and all the activities that go on in the parks, at least periodically. Our biggest project these days is the Voice of America Park and the proposed enhancements on that property. And let me before I move into this, introduce two park commissioners who are with us today, Greg Amon and Kathy Klink. Ed Dwyer, our president, is out of town on business. He sends his regrets that he could not attend. The enhancement plan at the Voice of America Park was based first on what we already had available. And you have a map in front of you, which might be easier to see than, but I can't resist the laser pointers. And I'm low tech today, so if you have any questions, please stop me. As you know, this area up on the north side has been in Metro Parks hands since about the end of 1999. Early this spring, April 1st actually, we hope that didn't have anything to do with our outcome, we got transferred from us after long negotiations with Westchester Township the section here of the park. Along with that transfer came some obligations to put together a plan for how we would develop and improve the park in the future. This plan that you see in front of you is the result of about 7 to 8 months worth of community input, some that was based on the township plan from about the year 2000, and also recent communications and indications from the public of what they expected and wanted out there. We put a committee together of partner agencies, of user groups, and came up after several sessions with the plan you see in front of you. I should say that the northern section and the improvements that are there today, including the lake and the lodge and the pathway around the lake, are incredibly popular with the public. And what we do with the rest of the park if that usage up in the north end is indicative of, and I think it is, of how busy the other sections of the park will become, we're in the right place with the right project where a lot of people will benefit. The north end was, of course, developed with the county commissioner's support, and we appreciate that. Without your help on that, none of those facilities that we've been able to build in the past would be there and available to the public. I can tell you that on any given day, on any nice sunny day, and sometimes even in the rotten weather, there are more people walking that pathway around that trail, around that lake, than there may be in the entire other parks of the park system. So we know it's incredibly popular. And that has a lot to do, I think, with the location in the county and how well connected it is in terms of highways. I-75, of course, is right over here. It'll get even better connected as the Liberty Interchange is built and opened in a year or so. We hope to see two exits signs on the interstate saying this exit VOA Park. But let me give you some idea how this evolved and what's featured on the plan. Based on the interest of the public, the plans from Westchester Township, we determined quickly that the area down here that shows these multi-purpose fields would be intensely used both by residents and folks from out of the area. In fact, this plan depends on the fact that we will have a sports complex that is easy to find and easy to use for regional tournaments. We already do get a number of visitors into this natural area or up and around the lake and the lodge from out of the immediate county. But once this facility is built down in the southeast corner, we expect that that usage will balloon. And we're counting on that to help cover the operating expenses of this facility once it's built. The plan itself was composed with the help of a landscape architect firm, McGill Smith Punchin, so that we would be able to accommodate multiple special events at the same time and not have an impact on the surrounding roads and neighborhoods, at least a negative impact. This has traditionally, off of Cox Road, the VOA Park Drive, has traditionally been the entrance into the lodge area in the northern part. Right now, you'd come in and you'd turn to the left and go up into the lodge area to access that park, part of the area, park area. But this plan projects that we'll move that entrance down to the end of VOA Park Drive, toward the east. That allows us additional stacking distance of cars as people are trying to get in and out very major events. We've held multiple events out there with partners over the past several years. Probably the most unique one recently was that Junior National Water Ski Championship, which occurred in the lake in June of this year. And, of course, we benefit from the fact that the roadways surrounding this park area have been or will be improved, with the Hamilton-Mason Road having gone to 5 lanes just this year, with a plan for Butler-Warren Road to become a 5-lane road in the future, and recent widening, and I think still yet some plans eventually to handle the and improve the traffic flow on Tylersville Road. Cox Road, of course, is a pretty good road right now. And just to orient you, this is the shopping plaza, the shopping area right there. And these two parcels where the museum, the old office complex, are retained by the township, and they're of course developing that as a destination point of interest themselves. Miami University will hold classes for the first time in their learning center on that block of property. And of course, that building is just recently constructed, very nice architecture, and we're happy to see that Miami University and the township continue to be our neighbors and partners on this project. They all had representatives on the plan development committee. We also are proposing that there will be a new main entrance down off of Tylersville Road right across from Pepper Pike. That will service the softball, soccer, all the active sports field areas. It will also provide access and Wrigley Field Dog Park, which is incredibly popular now, will also be served by that entrance. Now, when we have major events, tournaments, or what have you, just these two entrances are not enough to allow people to exit and enter without impeding traffic flow on surrounding roads. So we do have a proposed secondary entrance exit that can be put to use as necessary, planned off of Butler-Warren Road, and also we will maintain the existing entrance onto VOA Park Drive as a secondary entrance in the future. And as you know, we already have an exit entrance that we can press into use up here along Hamilton-Mason Road. We know that having these extra locations to enter and exit during major events is very important, because at this past summer when we had the concert out here with the Hamilton Fairfield Symphony Orchestra in July, we did not, because of road construction, have access to using this little secondary entrance exit, and people were waiting 20, 25 minutes to get out of the park area, and very frustrating to people. The quality of your experience is often dependent on how inconvenienced you are in order to get in and out of a facility. Any business would tell you that it's a part of that special thing that we talk about when we talk about what is it that makes you successful. Is it location, location, location? Well, that's part of it. Access. Where are you? How can you get in and out easily? And by the way, it's that location, location, location issue that makes this block of property out here incredibly popular, not just with local residents, but with those folks that come from out of the area already. We have a conservation mission of the Metro Parks also, and in order to make sure that we didn't lose track of that, and with our partners in the Audubon Society and some bird watching groups, this meadow area that you see in lighter green up here will remain a basic natural area, meadows, and there are different kinds of bird life that nest only in meadows. And meadows, of course, are disappearing all over the place. They may be one of the most threatened kinds of habitats left in the eastern United States. Because they're so easy to develop. And people feel comfortable when they walk through or are in a meadow area. I think we all appreciate a nice kept lawn, which is really just a short meadow in itself. But the wildlife that lives here, the Henslow sparrow, the bobolinks, the what have you, are rapidly disappearing in some other places. And we now have a core group of people who come out here on a regular basis and are very pleased that this is going to be protected as a green space. Now, will you be able to recreate through there? Yes, you will. There are pathways that go all around this entire property. Trails, some hard surfaced, some not. But this linkage idea is very important to this plan. We know how popular that trail around the lake is. Well, imagine 4 or 5 miles worth of paved trails throughout this area, linking all areas inside the park, some connections to trails off the park, and connections over to the museum, and then beyond over into the shopping area. Some of our neighbors and partners, including the Westchester Chamber Alliance and various businesses, hoteliers included, are looking at the kind of impact this can have as it brings in thousands of people to that area. And we're very pleased to recognize that it's not just about giving people a place to recreate. It's about being an important part of the local economy and helping bring dollars in. The Visitor Bureau here in Butler County is very excited about the potential for out-of-area tournaments using this site after it gets developed. And I don't know if you folks are aware, but we already have several groups. Well, people from 7 countries actually participated in that water ski event this past summer. We already have several groups coming and using the facilities, even as undeveloped as they are. It may be a little bit cold Saturday. Looks like maybe up to an inch of snow. But we have, on December 6th, the Kentucky High School Coaches Association doing their state cross-country championship out at VOA this weekend.
Kentucky?
Kentucky. I've always thought Ohio was special. I guess they do too. But that's just an example, as unimproved as that area is out there now, of how popular it can be. It's that location. It's that open space. It's that really unique setting that we're only going to enhance as we build and work on this project in the future. I'll just point out a few features that you would expect to find in the parks. These are multi-purpose fields. Any sport that needs a level or semi-rectangular area can take place out there. It's just a matter of how you put the lines and the stripes down and what kind of goal you put out. And we're ready to accommodate all kinds of things, from lacrosse to soccer. And I don't know if you folks knew this, but out in this edge of this green space today, we actually have a unique sport using the facility. We have a very avid and active cricket club that actually plays cricket. I haven't figured out exactly what those rules are yet. I know the bat looks kind of funny to me. But they're real excited, and we'll be able to accommodate them in these areas here also. We have some innovative concepts to keep traffic flowing even within the area. The use of traffic circles in some of these places. You can decide which way you go. You don't stand there backed up with lots of traffic. You can circulate and move around this circle once this area is built. Hard surfaces right now show that there would be 1,000 hard surface parking spaces once this plan is totally executed on this property. Now, do we expect to put more than 1,000 people or more than 1,000 cars in here at times? Yes, we do. We're counting on it. We're going to need to use overflow spots along the road system. We may need to, depending on circumstances, shuttle people in from other areas. Another project Although we're going to concentrate on this area first for our development efforts, another project that is out there, and it's started in some sense, is an expansion of that road to the lake and a development of an amphitheater and the shelters and parking lots that would feed it. That amphitheater project got a start with some road contractors who needed some dirt, and we've gotten the lake a little bit expanded as that part of that process. Not done by any means, but right now, although we don't have specific designs for the amphitheater yet, and those will come as we find what kind of financial support we can develop for it, we're now talking about an amphitheater that hard seating and grassy seating might accommodate up to 8,000 people. Now, how did we come up with that concept? Because it's bigger than the four or five smaller amphitheaters in the immediate area. Why duplicate what somebody already has? That is an exciting project, and we're talking to potential donors about it now. Baseball, softball,
excuse me.
Better access, better parking lot, that's Wrigley Field. There are playgrounds shown in these areas here and here. There's a wet-dry playground projected up north of the lodge in the grass area. That would be a zero-depth play, motion-activated kind of water fountain kind of play equipment and regular play structures. One of the comments we get now from people who are out there is, where are the play equipment for small children? If you're not into fishing in the lake, or if you're not happy just riding your bike or walking around that lake right now, we don't have the variety that we should. And so that's important, and we keep hearing from people. We want more restrooms on the property. We want more play structures on the property. Restrooms are scattered throughout. This little area, light green area here, is a raised area which would allow for an awards ceremony to take place for a special event. A tournament might occur in here. We've got perception, it's hard to see on this plan, but this bank right here along this edge is higher than the projected surface areas down here, so you have built-in hillside seating without having to put in a lot of bleachers and equipment to maintain. So, maintaining a little green feature down here, the little wetlands, putting in what we hope will serve as an irrigation source, this new pond, and at long last, our staff is dying for a maintenance facility out there, and it's projected right here next to that lake. Trails throughout, interpretation throughout, connections to the outside area. Now, you might ask, okay, that's a big plan. How long is that going to take? Well, our obligation to the township in the transfer agreement is that we will do this in 10 years' time. How fast that occurs will be somewhat driven by how much financial support we can secure and when we can. We will make steady progress. We expect to do the engineering for this area down here. There's got to be a lot of grading. A lot of underground utilities will need to go in here. We expect to do that design this winter, and we hope to move some dirt out here in this playing field area this early summer. Now, it may be a while before some of these support structures show up out there, but the sooner you grade, the sooner you can get the grass to grow, and then the sooner you can put people out on it to enjoy it. And we're working right now with all the hundreds, perhaps thousands of users who depend on this area for the sports fields that are out there now, even as unimproved as they are. We have thousands of users out there. We're working with them now to make sure that the disruption of their use of that property is as short as possible. We may end up putting some temporary fields in on the property where they won't stay. But that's a great consideration for us, working with those people who we see as our partners in this project. The other question that most people would ask is, well, what does this cost? The entire plan in today's dollars comes out, and this is without deciding architectural details and specifics. For example, we don't know how much lighting we're going to have here yet. But without it, without determining those things specifically, this could be just under a $20 million plan. Could be more expensive, too, depending on the choices we make and the support we can gain in from various grant sources, donors, and companies. We're ready to get into the sponsorship business. There's a lot of naming rights that are possible out there. The sledding hill, as popular as it is when we get snow, doesn't have a name. The lake doesn't have a name. None of these facilities have a name, and we'll be looking to develop and marketing this area as a community project with individuals, organizations, and companies in the coming year. But we will be concentrating on this area down here to get that basic grading and underground utilities in. The last thing we want to do is have to move dirt twice or tear something out that we paid for and put in 2 years or a year before. Same considerations that everyone has whenever they do a big project like this. We already know that we have support. Well, the county engineer was on, Greg Wilkins was on our committee and helped with the traffic flow and the trail area here. In fact, it's proposed now that in the widening of Butler Warren Road, due to the funding source requirement, that there would be a sidewalk in this corridor along the roadside. Well, instead, it will be a trail as part of this, all of this trail system. So that's a summary of what's happening out there, what we hope will happen over the next 10 years. I'm excited about it. We have people that are incredibly excited about it. We get emails every day and phone calls about when can I expect this. We've gotten comment from the user groups out there, the soccer associations, the baseball folks. They all love it. They're all just a little concerned, though, that how long will they not have access. So we'll work through those issues in the coming year. And before I close, I'd like to give my park commissioners an opportunity to add whatever they feel you should know.
I don't know how you read your notes. Okay, well, first off, the phase one of this project is approximately $4+ million. Our commitment to the township is really on the basis of that phase one. We have a commitment to do a percentage of that each year over, I think it's a 10-year period. So how are we going to pay for it? Well, that's one of the reasons why we refinanced the Governor Houston Farm, which is really is a land bank. It was an opportunity to get a piece of property for Hanover Township, because our goal was to ultimately have property in place for a regional park in each one of the quadrants of the county, and we're there now. So we're not going to be buying land for a while, that's for sure, unless somebody wants to give it to us. The soccer complex is going to generate, the soccer, lacrosse, cross country is going to generate millions of dollars for the county. That's why the Visitors and Convention Bureau is really supporting this, and they're working on what their grant's going to be. What we're looking for in terms of how we're going to pay for the first phase, and really we're going to go in and move dirt. Put dirt, sewer, water, you know, do the infrastructure, not buildings, none of the other stuff. And we're looking to generate about $1 million from we're trying to get $1 million out of the Visitors Convention Bureau and some other local organizations. Looking for $2 million between state and federal, and then $1 million out of our budget. And so we just got to squeeze it. We got to watch how we spend our money. At the same time, we can't ignore the other parks in the system. So the goal is to get this moving and then go into the, obviously this year isn't the year to do it, but go for a bond issue for capital for the county, a countywide bond issue to do this in Rensselaer Forest, because we have to get that project done as well. We can't just park ourselves down here in the, you know, the southern part of the county. So it's going to be tough. I think a bond issue is probably a lot easier to sell to the communities than a tax levy, per se. And it's, we're looking at either a half or a mill, ultimately, is what we'd be looking to do. And as I said, I think the way the public is it's almost kind of like, you show me, when you give me something, then we'll vote for it, we'll pay for it. We certainly would get the support from Liberty Township and Westchester, because they're the big beneficiaries of this. But we also have to have enough money that we can do the Rensselaer Forest project as well, so that we're supporting, you know, another part of the county, because we certainly have to provide something for Fairfield and Hamilton. And so that's a critical part of it. The only issue we have really that's affecting us is just the negative economy. I think it's affecting everybody, because that drops the transfer tax revenue, obviously, so it makes it a little tougher. So it's kind of an update in a nutshell. Bring you up on one other issue we have. We're in a little battle with Jurgensen, and we may need your support. When SK went in and started expanding the first part of the lake, they were going to put the amphitheater in, and Jurgensen came in and said they needed 100,000 yards of dirt. They signed a contract with us to take the 100,000 yards of dirt. They actually chased SK out of there because they needed to get in. Well, then, in the meantime, I think they found dirt somewhere else cheaper from Westchester that they were already digging. So they just kept putting it off and putting it off, and then they came in about 2 weeks ago and said, well, we don't need dirt, so now we've got this hole. And so we're going to get ugly with them, because we do have a contract. Prosecutors already sent them a letter. And, you know, we're going to bring Greg Wilkins and the TID into it as well to try and put pressure on them. His obligation was to take the 100,000, finish digging out the lake area that was already started. Right now, it'll fill, but it'll be shallow, and it's going to be a problem with weeds and things like that. And that's not the kind of thing you want to leave there, and especially with the amphitheater, because then it just becomes a mosquito haven. He was also, as part of the deal, was supposed to finish regrade the top part of the sled riding hill, and then we were in the naming rights. We were going to get this snow making equipment so the kids could sled ride out there all winter. The whole purpose in that is to generate more revenue for the park district in terms of concession sales and get kids something to do. Also generate, because it's a regional draw, then business for the local restaurants and the shopping center. So that's real doable. It's not a dramatic expense for us to go in and finish top grading that, but he was required to do that as part of the deal. Jurgensen is really basically every promise they made when they came in several weeks ago and said they weren't going to take the dirt. They said, oh, well, we're going to get on the hill, though. We're going to do that. They didn't do that. This is just classic. These guys, they want to play hardball. So there, with that, prosecutors on top of them. And we'll see what happens. We really just want them to finish. We don't care if they take any more dirt, just finish grading it. Dig the, bring in their big hoe and take, because it's shale. Dig it a little deeper and do the hill. But we'll see where it goes from there. What are we asking for from you guys? Well, obviously, we'd like to have that commitment on the $300,000 for another year. And that would basically pay for the rest of the engineering on the lake, or on the park itself. Other than that, just your continued support and involvement. It's a great project. I envision, as I said, another project like that for Rensselaer Forest, but we are going to have a bond issue to go forward with this thing. So I think everybody knows that. You can't spend $10, $12 million. We are going to start a capital campaign, much like we've done with the Y's, with the local community. I think we've got a lot of support. The local soccer club is one of the largest in the nation. It's called Cincinnati United Soccer Club, and it's also one of the best clubs in the nation. So they're the ones that are the draws for the regional tournaments and whatnot. But it's a huge group of kids. It's about 2,000 boys and girls, so it's a lot of people to draw from capital money as well. So we're going to start a capital campaign on that in the spring.
Greg, that's definitely a jewel for Butler County. There's no question about that. And you've done a remarkable job so far with what you've got out there. And you're definitely to be commended for that. Are you aware there's a professional softball team that would like to locate in that area from Dayton? Have you been?
There was a group that had talked to us a while ago, but they weren't offering any money. And they had talked about actually building a stadium. The issue is with that, we have to sit down with the Federal Park Service because they restrict everything we do. So whatever we do, we have to submit it to them. We are in this actual program. We've got three fields in there. So we've had some discussions with them. And, you know, I think the group was really looking for someone else to build a facility for them. And
it's not a surprise. But
Right. And involved stadium, the whole bit. In fact, we've dodged a stadium bullet on the soccer for regional tournaments or national tournaments. There's usually a stadium field. Well, we have Hopewell right next door. So we have a stadium field for that. What it comes down to is we're telling all these groups to show us the money. If you want some special facility, and we could accommodate that, they have to come up with a capital for it, because a complex like what they were talking about is several million dollars.
Well, it certainly can't beat the location. You're right about that.
No.
You guys have anything?
Okay.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you very much.
Thanks, gentlemen. We'll try to keep you in the loop on our progress, and we appreciate your time today.
Great job.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
You too. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Okay. Good to see you.
Bye, Kevin.
Thanks, John. Go into communications, please.
We'll do the minutes.
What's that?
Pardon me?
Minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you might. You can't behave, can you?
Couldn't resist it. Ed made me do it.
Yeah. Approve the minutes from the...
I move to approve the minutes from November 24th.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
We have four separate resolutions to consider. I'll read all four and then take one motion to cover. And these are four change orders. The first change order is $528 for additional testing required by the city of Hamilton, in regard to the construction out there. Second is for $2,094 for a change in the location of some of the fire protection equipment out there in accordance with changes by the city of Hamilton. Next, we have a change of $2,332, which is a change in design for the hood and louvers around the emergency generator. This will result in a deduct to the Lorenz and Williams bill for architectural services. Finally, we have a change order for $1,689, at the Board of Elections or the Princeton Road facility for additional light fixtures and outlets requested by the owner. So those are four separate resolutions to consider.
I move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Next, as we move into travel and training, we have seven requests for you today. The first is Gary Yates Court Services for OCPOA grants at Columbus, Ohio, $450. The second is Greg Wilkins and Dell Sweeterman, the Butler County Engineer, for the Butler County Engineers Conference, Columbus, Ohio, $500. The third is for Katie Shaver, Melissa McKendry, and Ashley for juvenile court, Columbus, Ohio, $362 to attend the Promoting Resiliency in Adolescent Girls. Number four is for the Butler County Sheriff's Office. This is Donna Holbert, Etta Caver, Connie Reyes, for Crisis Intervention and Trauma Training, Columbus, Ohio, $800. Number five is Nancy Carey from the Care Facility for Provider Orientation and Training in Cincinnati, Ohio, for $40. Number six Sharon Kennedy, or Judge Sharon Kennedy, Domestic Relations Court, the Ohio Judicial College Domestic Relations Seminar, Columbus, Ohio, $400. Filing number 7, Judge Ron Kraft, Juvenile Court, the Ohio Association of Juvenile Court Judges Winter Meeting, Columbus, Ohio, $462. As we move on to finance and transfers, we have a number of items to go over. Go through them as quickly as I can. Including all the general fund and the non-general fund, most of these are transfers. There are various increases and decreases in the budget. Basically, all general fund and non-general fund, all of the increases and decreases in the actual dollar budget results in a reduction of the overall budgets that we're going to discuss today in the area of $917,000. But number one, we have a transfer between accounts within information services to accommodate the payment of our telecom consultant on the telephone system, as well as final adjustments to PRS in that department. Again, the general fund, this is the commissioner's account transfer between accounts in order just to accommodate the final adjustment in our salary accounts. Next, for the insurance account, we have transfer $28,000 between accounts to cover, of course, the claim payments, and an increase in budget in that particular department for $110,000 for claims that will be reimbursed from CORSA. Number four, general fund economic development. We have various small transfers between accounts in order to take care of subscription costs, cell phone, and the purchase of a laptop. Number five, transfers between accounts for the recorder's office of $2,500, $1,000, and $2,000 respectively. This is to adjust their PRS account in order to get through the year. Number six, transfers for the clerk of courts between accounts in order to accommodate $4,600 in their PRS account, and then $6,000 in their supplies accounts. Number seven, transfer between accounts for common police court in order to adjust their PRS account for the year. Number eight, again, continuing general fund court services, transfer between accounts, $22,750. For PRS. Continuing general fund domestic relations, transfer between accounts, $7,500 for PERS. Number 10, transfer between accounts of $2,000 and $3,000 respectively for association fees, as well as services tax services in the juvenile court. Number 11, general fund probate court, transfer between accounts, $6,000. For the purchase of file folders, labels, and supplies. Number 12, this is an increase in budget of $800 in the municipal courts in order to cover additional witness fees. Number 13, a transfer between accounts, $8,370 for PERS. Number 14, this is a decrease in budget and an increase in budget in various debt accounts. The net change results in a decrease in budget of $190,272. Number 15, continuing the general fund, we have a transfer in the debt service account in order to for the repayment of an advance that was made to the fund. Number 16, we have this would be a decrease in the appropriations for our advance account that these appropriations are no longer needed. That concludes the general fund. As we go into the non-general funds, first is the real estate assessment fund, Fund 14. We have a overall decrease in our budget of $137,388 to various accounts, and then reclasses between accounts of $12,000 and $900 and $1,300 respectively to employment cost accounts. Number 18, the health insurance fund 110. We have transfers between accounts for contract services, as well as an increase in the budget for $13,000 to accommodate the final health insurance payments for December. Number 19, in the clerk of court's title fund, Fund 121, we have transfer between accounts of $1,000, $3,000, $11,000, $11,200 respectively to cover unemployment costs, supplies, and contract services respectively. Number 20, the DTAC prosecutor fund, we have transfer between accounts for $1,145 in order to into their PRS account for their final payments for the year. Next, in Fund 1025, the Sheriff Revolving Fund, transfer between accounts of $14,132 in order to, it's a transfer from equipment budget to uniform expense. Next, number 22, Fund 1250, Motor Vehicle Fund, transfer between accounts of $3,040, $10,000, and $10,000 respectively, in order to adjust the salary line item for the elected official, and then reclass from the capital budget item to enable the purchase of furniture and to pay for professional services. Number 23, Domestic Relations Grant, Fund 1362. We have reclasses between three accounts in the amount of $14.94, $15.06, and $352. All to employment-related accounts. Number 24, Job and Family Services Fund 1780. We have a reclass of $10,000 and $30,000 respectively in order to, that reclasses into their salary account in order to finish the current budget year. Number 25, this is Job and Family Services Fund 1780. We have three transfers between accounts of $5,000, $90,000, and $20,000 for salaries to finish the year, daycare payment, and mileage costs or travel expenses for staff. And in addition to that, we have a decrease in account for $262,120. Number 26, Children's Services Fund, $1,800. We have transfers between accounts for foster care and professional services and court services in the amount of $40,000, $10,000, $35,000, and $177,120 respectively. Number 27, the University Point TIF account. This is a an increase in budget and a transfer of cash for the into the debt service fund. Number 28, Cox Road Special Assessment Fund. This is a repayment from that fund to the general fund for an advance that the general fund made to that particular fund. Number 29, the University Point TIF Fund. This is a correction, a reversal of a prior resolution. Number 30, the Venice Gardens Fund 3110. This is a repayment to the general fund for an advance the general fund made to this bond retirement fund. Number 31, the Sewer Fund, Fund 3500. We have an increase in budget of $700, a transfer between accounts of $574, and then a decrease in budget of $877 and $297 respectively. In the Sewer Replacement and Improvement Fund, Fund 3520, overall we have a decrease in those budget line items for in the amount of $141,407. Item number 33, the Water Fund, Fund 4100. We have a decrease in budget of $1,481 and then an increase in budget of $3,500 to accommodate a refund to a customer for damages during a Blue Max break. 34, a Water Capacity Fund, Fund 4110. We have an increase in budget of $12,500 as this is a new project that is set up for construction. Number 35, Water Replacement Improvement Fund, Fund 4120. We have a decrease in budget of $31,706 and then an increase in budget of $12,500 for a new project. Number 36, the Butler County Fuel Depot. We have a repayment of advances that the general fund made to the fuel depot in the amount of $150,000 in total. As we move on to personnel, We have 44 personnel items to go over today. The first is to accept and place on file the payroll for Job and Family Services. The changes for this payroll has been reconciled back to previously authorized resolutions. Next, according to the collective bargaining unit with Job and Family Services, you're requested to approve a 3% across-the-board increase for collective bargaining unit employees effective December 6, 2008. Next, we have several step increases for Job and Family Services employees. These are six step increases. The first is Cassandra Moore, Social Services Worker 1, to $16.15, effective November 22nd, a 3.2% increase. Next, Jeff Daniel, who is an Eligibility Referral Specialist 2, an increase to $15.65, a 3% increase. Next is Sarah Finkmine, Eligibility Referral Specialist 2, to $15.66, which reflects the 3% across the board as well as 3.3% step increase. Excuse me. Next, Karen Fugate. She is an Investigator 2, an increase of 2.8% and a 3% across the board effective December 6. Next is Stacy Parsley. Stacy is an Eligibility Referral Specialist 2, an increase to $16.12. This represents a 3% step increase plus a 3% across the board. Next is Lisa Sullivan. She is an Eligibility Referral Specialist 2, and her increase is to $16.63, a 3.2% increase, and a 3% increase across the board effective December 6. As we move on, we have various pay adjustments in Job and Family Services. These are primarily for ending of certain pay categories or temporary assignments, and they include Molly Estridge, Eligibility Referral Specialist 2, ending of a temporary assignment and reduction back to $15.65 effective November 22nd. Next is Jennifer Adler, Eligibility Referral Specialist 2, ending the mentor pay adjustment, and her rate goes back to $17.97 effective December 6. Next, Anna Foltz, ending the bilingual page supplement adjustment. That is effective December 6. Her rate goes down to $18.66. Shirley Holland, ending of a mentor pay period. Her pay drops to $18.66 effective December 6. Next is Kara Long. She's an Eligibility Referral Specialist 2. Her mentor pay period ends effective December 6. Her pay is reduced to $18.66. Next is Rachel Maloney, Eligibility Specialist 2. Her mentor pay period ends. Her pay reverts back to $16.12 effective December 6. Next is Patricia McCoy, an Eligibility Referral Specialist 2. Her mentor pay period ends, and her pay reverts back to $18.66 effective December 6. Next is Lois Rackwith. Her mentor pay period ends. Her pay reverts back to $18.66 effective December 6. Next is Charity Sizemore, Eligibility Referral Specialist 2. Her bilingual period supplement ends, reverts back to $18.66 effective December 6. Next, we have approve a layoff of a union support worker in Job and Family Services effective December 5, 2008. We also have a recommendation for termination of an Investigator 2 in Job and Family Services effective December 7. We also have a request to rescind a previous resolution, which was adopted November 13, 2008, for Gail Johnson. That resolution is requested to be rescinded. Next, we have to approve a promotion of Kimberly Bryant in Job and Family Services to Social Services Worker three, excuse me, this is Children's Services, at a rate of $19.20 per hour, effective December 3rd. Next, we have various step increases for Children's Services. These are as follows, and all are also collective bargaining unit individuals. Yvonne Howard, collective bargaining unit person, family resource specialist, Children's Services, $15.82, a 3.5% increase. William Gallagher, who is a social services worker three, to $23.35, effective December 5th, a 3.5% increase. Next, Brian Callahan, who's a family resource specialist, to $16.35 per hour, December 5th, a 3.3% increase. Next is Anisha Burns, who's a social services worker four, to $21.11, effective December 3rd, a 3.3% increase. Next is John Stringer, who's a social worker's three, and to $18.58, effective December 4th, 3.3% increase. Next is Joseph Burns, who's a social services worker three, who will, his pay will be at $18.58, effective December 4th, a 3.3% increase. Next is Andrea Parks, social services worker three, rate will be $18.58, effective December 4th, a 3.3% increase. Next is Allison Foster, a social services worker three, to $17.97, effective December 4th, a 3.3% increase. Next, we have various comp time payouts for Children's Services in accordance with the collective bargaining agreement. These are comp time payouts or personal leave payouts in accordance with the contract. The first is James Jeffries in the amount of $192.10. Paul Cook, $96. Arthur Schallenberger, $191.20. Kimberly Short, $174.60. Lisa Brock, $634.40. Thomas Brock, $1,998.40. Stacy Hattie, $495.75. Emily Sabin, $137.03. Brenda Lubers, $168.90. Brenda Lubers again for $256.56. Carla Day for $276.84. You also have from Water and Sewer request to approve a reassignment of Scott Schulte from he's employed as wastewater operator two to wastewater operator three at a $21.96 rate. You're next to approve the request to approve the transfer of employment of Johanna Vestola, effective December 6th, from the information services within the information services department. Next, you're requested to accept the resignation of Dan Halley as the public defender in Area Court 2, and you're also requested to approve the hiring of Dennis Dieters for the Area Court 2 as the public defender effective November 24th at a rate of $930.30 biweekly.
Tim, before we move on, the rescinding of the resolution for a step increase, what was that about? Do you know offhand?
I do not recall off the top of my head.
Okay. It was for a Gail Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious as to...
And if it was just made an error or what?
Uh-huh.
I'll get that information for you. Okay. For development, we have an award of contract for demolition of vacant school building in the village of Somerville to Solid Rock Construction in the amount of $46,800. Today, Job and Family Services and Children's Services have four resolutions, as I'm going to pull the last resolution in that category. So we have four resolutions to consider today. The first is to award a contract of voice transcription services and Children's Services to SpeakRight, LLC, in the amount of $75,000.
Next is to approve a daycare contract with Titus Avenue First Church of God, doing business as All About Children Care, effective December 1/08 to November 30th, 09, not to exceed $248,500. Next is to approve an agreement with SELF for light assembly program work for a period of December 1, 2008 to December 1, 2009, not to exceed $5,000. This is assembly work for low-income clients to help them develop skills and knowledge and hopefully to obtain a permanent job and lead to future employment opportunities. Next, we have the Porch Light Program for Children's Services. This is with Community Behavior Health. This is a supervised housing environment for foster children who are transitioning from foster care to independent life. The contract period is December 1/08 to November 30th, 09, not to exceed $431,665. This particular program not only provides counseling and life skills, but also you know, housing and housing attendant and other counseling needs. I pulled the final resolution that is on the list there. As we go into water and sewer, requests six resolutions today. The first is for a change order for the Castle Hill Water Main Replacement Project in the amount of $14,122. The change order is for increase of 234 linear feet of asphalt and additional driveway work that is required for restoration, an increase of 1,824 feet of additional driveway. Water and Sewer requests you provide a one-year maintenance bond, or accept a one-year maintenance bond for public water and sewer line extensions to Harbortown Village. They also request you approve and execute an agreement with the Pentecostal Highway of Holiness Church to provide temporary relief from a controlled manhole installation requirement on Hamilton Middletown Road. Next, they request you to approve and execute a disbursement relating to the Ohio Public Works Commission loan for the project, for the cast iron pipe project, in the amount of $20,568.37. Next, you're asked to approve a one-year extension to a contract for sodium hypochlorite carbonate with Univar USA, at a cost increase of $6,500. Finally, Water and Sewer requests you to approve and execute an amendment to an agreement with Arcadia USA for professional services for the Big Monroe Parallel Force Main project. As we move on to the engineer is requesting eight pieces of legislation today. The first is to approve a special hauling permit for Maxim Crane Works. The second is a special hauling permit for Chrome Domestic Corporation. Next is a special hauling permit for Maximum Crane Works. The next is a special hauling permit for Maximum Crane Works. Next is a special hauling permit for Mount Pleasant Blacktopping. We also request you to cancel the maintenance bond for the Foxborough Phase 2, Block B in Westchester Township. They're seeking your approval and execution of an agreement with L2 Marketing Research for marketing research not to exceed $22,266 in relation to stormwater management. They're asking you to counsel an assessment against the Lakota School District and Hill Land Development for public road petition. So we move on to miscellaneous. We have eight requests today. First is to an annual grant that is provided to the Fair Board for $20,000. Next is to approve and execute an agreement with First Financial Bank as requested by the Butler County Treasurer for lockbox services in the amount of $86,400. Next is there's a request for the Butler County Sheriff's Office to donate eight laptops to the YMCA Hamilton branch for their after-school program. Next is to establish a hearing date for a public hearing to consider whether a change in the name of the portion of the Liberty Fairfield Road to Old Liberty Fairfield Road should be considered. Next, you have a request to appoint John Mosier to serve as on the Transportation Improvement District Board, starting January 1/09 to January 1, 2011. Next, you're requested to, reimburse Marianne Williams $18.66 for monthly calendar refills and notepads. You're requested to reimburse Sue Stevenson for $60. This is for a CD player that was stolen. Next, you're asked to approve a statement of work and acquisition of a new call recording system at Children's Services. This is in conjunction with the upgrade that is being made to the phone system throughout the county, the new Avaya phone system. The current call recording system is not compatible with the new system. Information Services and our technology consultant looked at either upgrading the old system or looking at the purchase of a new system, and it was determined that it is advantageous both cost-wise and technology-wise to go with a new system called the NICE system, N-I-C-E system, through Cincinnati Bell at a cost not to exceed $196,000. Next, you're asked to approve 208 payment requests. And then we have another separate payment request to consider after you vote on the general communications.
The 8 laptops that we're donating to YMCA, those are used laptops?
They are. They're, they're leftover excess laptops. I don't know how many years old they are, Greg.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolliffe?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Now, we have a separate resolution for payments relating to the Board of Elections Department.
Move to approve.
Second.
I thought you were going to go through them.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
This time I'd like to announce that next Friday, December the 12th, Becky Jones, the sheriff's wife, and Kathy Becker from Transitional Living are coordinating their efforts to ask for blankets to be donated through the office holders of Butler County through their various employees. To be collected next Friday, December the 12th, for homeless and transitional living. They're going to collect these next Friday, and they would request a proclamation at that point if you're in favor of joining me with that.
Sure, great idea.
We will do that. So I'm sure that Becky Jones and Kathy Becker would appreciate any assistance that they can get from any and all of the office holders. That's a very worthwhile endeavor. So we will be happy, I think, to do the proclamation at that time. And as far as the press is concerned, any questions, you can direct them to Kathy Becker or Becky Jones for that project. Does that have anything?
I have a quick comment. I don't know which one he's the lead with first. I'd say, first of all, we got a letter from the sheriff. I don't know if we've got all the time to look at that, but I think he raises some good suggestions, and that is that since we know we're going to get increases by the city of Hamilton in that kilowatt tax, that he's ordering his staff to be more conscious of the electrical utility uses and turn the thermostats down a little bit and encourage his employees to wear a little warmer clothing if they feel they need to, which is something that we probably ought to do throughout the county anyway. It's just a reminder. So, but in light of that, I think it brings to the issue that needs to be discussed just for a moment is really clarification. There was an article in yesterday's paper on the front page that referred to some
extra tax money that we were getting as being just gravy, and I think it was an unfortunate choice of words. But first of all, I'd like to say that that comment did not come as a policy of this commission. That was an individual's comment, and doesn't reflect, I don't believe, on any of our idea where the budget is. Fact of the matter is, we've got $6 million to cut out of this budget, and I think just this letter from the sheriff indicates that, you know, our office holders get it. We are in uncharted waters financially. You can look at the sales tax revenues as a forecast, but really they're laggers. They're at 3 or 4 months behind. I believe we're fortunate in Butler County, and we're blessed to be in a great location. And the former commissioners and everybody else has the township trustees and all the different townships of bringing businesses in and fostering sales taxes, products that generate sales taxes in the county. We are in better shape than most, but people shouldn't accept that as being that we don't have a problem and that we don't have to really watch what we're doing, because I believe we're no different than anybody else. We're just a little bit ahead of everybody else, and as far as being able to continue to collect sales taxes. But I believe, and every economic person that I talk to and every business person that I talk to forecast that our sales tax revenues are going to go the wrong way, and that's down. So we are in a budget cycle that is unknown, and we do have a deficit. We are working on it. We acknowledge it. We get it. And I don't want anybody to take that article that was in the paper yesterday, although I'm not saying that it was written wrong. I think the person who commented on it should not have made that comment, and doesn't speak for the big picture of Butler County or for our fiscal direction.
I would agree with you, Commissioner, and also to say that, you know, the sales tax, even though it's one of our lifebloods of our revenues, it's one of I think top five. And Tim, maybe you can go into that a little bit if you have some information. And when you look at investment income, is going to really take a, you know, everyone's taking a 15% or 30% hit in their own investments, and the county is no different, which leads to that $6 million hole that we have, not so much on the expense side, but as on the revenue side. As we look at 2009, we're looking at a revenue shortfall, and not so much as a spike in expenses. I think every office holder, as you say, gets it, and it's, you know, they're going to have to get a little bit more, I think, as we go to try to solve the $6 million problem, because I don't think that there's any magic bullet out there that we can come up with to solve this without some very serious, drastic decisions that we have to make pertaining to office holders and their budgets. So, but also want to add that, you know, I appreciate the Journal's editorial of last week that urged our citizens of Butler County to shop locally, because that's very important. As you know, if you have a choice between shopping in Hamilton County or Claremont County or Warren County, you know, stay here. Not only because it helps Butler County and Butler County to provide the services such as the sheriff and his patrols and just general government, it also, you're saving money because we're, you know, one of the lowest sales tax in the state, and we should be very proud of that. And because of that, we don't have the revenues that that we're going to be realizing, as you say, with the downturn in the economy. You know, as you mentioned, that, you know, the Black Friday and the nationally, that looked like, you know, more people were out shopping, but I don't think that that's going to continue for 2009, just because of, you know, the number of pink slips that have gone out in the private sector, that's going to hit in about 2 or 3 months when unemployment benefits run out and people really feel the dramatic effect of not having a job if the economy doesn't pick up or Washington doesn't do something. So we really have to be very mindful about the 2009 budget. You know, and I regret that the statement yesterday too. You know, but as you look at 2008 and the sales tax, Tim, I think it, you know, it is higher than what we projected in the budget for 2008, wasn't it? It came in a little bit higher.
It is a little bit higher. We benefited from a couple of things in 2008, and I think that's what the comment was attributable to. Not that it's gravy, but we benefited from a couple of things. Number one is the transition of the rates. We got the benefit of the transition of rates during the first 3 months of the year, as adjusted from the half cent temporary down to the quarter percent ongoing permanent. The other thing is the probably the impact of the opening of IKEA benefited us for about 6 months. Now, as we transition into 2009, you know, first of all, it's a complete different ballgame. And if you will, it's almost a perfect storm. You touched on it, but I'll elaborate on it. Number one, actually, our sales tax are projected to go down by $3 million in 2009, which creates a real, creates a real hardship, and it's the first time probably, you know, in nearly 12 years that there will be a decline in the sales tax revenue. The other part of the perfect storm, as you mentioned, Commissioner, is the drop in investment income. Now, I want to give assurance that this is not a drop because of a decrease in value or unsafeness of investments. It's a drop because of the investment rate that is going down. And in fact, as you transition your investment to more safer securities, your rate continues to drop. So that's nearly another $3 million drop right there alone, just in investment income line item. So between those two line items, you know, in itself, you know, that accounts for $6 million decrease in revenue that is creating a hole that we have to fill. Actually, the hole now is up over $7 million as we put together the final numbers and move forward.
Hell, you need to go the other way, man.
Well, unfortunately, this will continue to be a moving target as we move into 2009 from a couple different directions. I think Commissioner Dixon pointed out that, you, Commissioner, there's an unknown as to really where the bottom is going to be with the economy and the effect of the pink slips that are going out right now and what is going to be the effect on spending. So that's the unknown. The other unknown is the reaction of other governments, the federal government and the state government, that will continue to develop and continue to roll out and continue to impact us. So this is going to be a continuing moving target as we move forward that we're going to have to adapt to.
You make a good point with the state government, because when you look at what they're facing, the first thing they start looking at is local government funds. And we need to be very vigilant with comments coming out of Columbus mm-hmm. with what they plan on doing. And make sure our delegation knows that, you know, that's $5 million for Butler County. So we can't let them take that. But that's also, the local government fund is also based on sales tax revenue throughout the state. So when the state's looking at a lower sales tax revenue, it's going to affect us anyway, you know. Right. But they may try to put their hands on taking all of it.
And that drastically affects townships as well.
Oh, yeah.
Do that because, and like I started to say, we brace for what's local here, but we also have to brace for what's coming from the state and the federals because it's a lot easier to kick down than it is to kick up, and we seem to be the recipient of a lot of those kicks whenever times get hard. So we do have to be prepared for what is coming, not just locally, but from the state as well. So that's good points.
You know, I don't want to leave everybody with the wrong impression that, you know, we're
look, we're blessed, I think I said before, fortunate for the foresight that the county's had and in a position that everyone's taken, former people have taken to grow Butler County to where it is. We're not, fortunately, we're not looking at a 40 or 50 or 60 million dollar deficit. You know, we've got a 6 or 7, but that just didn't happen because, you know, I don't think people understand the work that goes into trying to project where we are, and we've been cutting at this for over a year, maybe longer than that, getting ready for this. And it's not something that's easy to do, and it's not something that's pleasant to do, and it's hard for our employees to understand when they don't get to see all the numbers and the whole picture of revenue and the people that we have that advise us. But goes back to where we've been saying all along, we're trying to hold the line, we've got collective bargaining agreements that we have to live up to. But on a positive note of that, I feel that, like I said earlier, that our office holders are all on board, they're all tightening the belt. Our employees, I sense, are willing to do with less as an increase and just recognize that, you know, we have a good working environment, we have a stable job, and try and keep everybody working instead of one or two trying to get more for themselves. They're kind of thinking of everybody in general. So along that lines, I think, you know, we are not in a position I'd like to be in, but I feel a lot better knowing that everybody understands and they're starting to work towards it than just being everybody fighting to get more for themselves. So
yeah, I agree with you that, you know, everyone, office holders, are looking at innovative ways in order to still provide the top-notch services that they required to provide, but also do it more efficiently. And I know Dan Crank, is the reporter, is looking at some very interesting ideas with his office. And, you know, we need that from, you know, more from the sheriff, and, you know, because, you know, the, you know, 30% or more is, you know, sheriff and safety forces in the Justice Department. The judges need to be cognizant of it also, because I think, what is it, safety and justice is what, 60%?
Close to 70, I think, isn't it?
Nearly 70% now.
Of the general fund.
Yes, sir.
So that's $70 million. We're looking at $100 million general fund. So, you know, I agree with you that they all got the message. And, you know, as we go through budget hearings and go through this next month, it's going to be tough. But, you know, together I think we can handle it.
Yep, we'll get through it.
All good points. Appreciate it. Anything else?
Nothing.
At this time, we'll recess to upstairs for the work session for MRDD. And then following that, there'll be an executive session. Thank you.